Praise God. Let's just lift our hands and praise Him. Thank Him for His goodness and mercy. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. We do praise You. We worship You. We honor You. We magnify the name of Jesus. Great is our Lord and greatly to be praised. Above every name is Thy name. Thank You, Lord. We worship and honor You. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank You, Father, for giving us utterance in the Holy Ghost, that we may speak as of the oracles of God. Thank You, Father, that each ear shall be anointed to listen, and each mind open, and each heart receptive to Your word. We'll praise You and give You honor and glory for all that's wrought among us. In the worthy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, you could open them to the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Praise the Lord. 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And the 6th verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Isaiah, by the Spirit of God, is prophesying concerning the coming Messiah and the birth of Jesus. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. If we had time, I think we could begin with his name shall be called Wonderful and speak a while on that, a sermon or two. And then Counselor, and then the Mighty God. You could preach almost forever on that, couldn't you? The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Thank God He's all of them, and even more. But I just wanted to take the word Wonderful out of this text and use it for a text. As we think about this particular season of the year, we acknowledge the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But of course, if that's all there was to it, just that He was born and it ended there, there would be no plan of salvation. So we have to look at it completely from the beginning to the end. And certainly He is wonderful. And certainly His conception was wonderful. The announcing of His birth was wonderful. His childhood was wonderful. He was wonderful in ministry. And my, you could just preach. We've been preaching about His ministry all the fall and haven't exhausted it yet, haven't even hardly touched it. He was wonderful in His death. He was wonderful in His resurrection. And thank God He's going to be wonderful in His coming again. Amen. And all of that really is in connection with the Christmas story. Well, let's just look at and see what the Scripture said about it, and let the Scriptures speak for themselves. Hallelujah. I said, first of all, He was wonderful in conception and wonderful in the announcement of His birth. And thank God He was. Now let's notice here in Luke, the very first chapter. The other writers of the Gospels cover the same story, but Luke goes in a little bit more detail about it, so I like his best. The Bible said, beginning with the 26th verse of the first chapter of Luke, and in the 6th month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? So you see, it was wonderful in the announcing that he was to be born. An angel from heaven came down to announce it. Now, how is this conception going to take place? That's what Mary is questioning it about. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Well, how is it possible that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son? Well, the angel said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Praise God forevermore. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women. She began to prophesy, you see. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now you see, Mary, if you read one of the other gospel writers' account of it, didn't tell anybody about this. She just pondered these sayings in her heart. Elizabeth didn't know what had happened. But you see, she's speaking by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost knows what's happening. Praise God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imaginations of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich has he sent away empty, or empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake unto our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned in her own house. So we can readily see that the word wonderful applies to the announcing that he was to be born. wonderful in announcing his conception, how that he would be conceived. Now then, let's notice the announcement that he was born. Praise God. Look into the second chapter of Luke. And just let the Word of God tell the story as we reminisce upon these scriptures. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own country. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now notice. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. Not only did the angel appear to her, but the glory, notice it said, the glory of the Lord shone around about them. That same glory of God that was manifested all through the Old Testament, many times as a cloud, sometimes as bright, shining light, shined about them. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, hallelujah, wonderful in announcing that he was born. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Notice that. This shall be, he said, a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go unto Bethlehem and see the thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Hallelujah. And so it is certainly wonderful in the announcing that he was born. Now then, I want you to notice that he was wonderful in childhood. Notice the 40th verse of this same chapter. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now let's continue to read. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsmen and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Remember, he's just 12 years old. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. That's Joseph and Mary now. When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." They didn't know where he was, you know. A day's journey without him. And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" I said he was wonderful in childhood, didn't I? I must be at 12 years. I must be about my father's business. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Hallelujah. So he was wonderful in childhood. No wonder his name shall be called Wonderful. He was wonderful in ministry. My, you could just preach here forever, couldn't you? We have been going in our studies in healing school in the afternoon, and then here on Sunday night when I would speak, through the four Gospels, examining the personal testimonies of the individuals that were healed or delivered from demons or sickness under the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's quite enlightening. But yet, when we think about his ministry, we not only think about the healings and the deliverances, we think about all of his ministry. His ministry consisted in word and works. Now, Jesus declared, "The works that I do shall ye do also." You remember in John's Gospel, 14th chapter, the 12th verse, Jesus declared, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do." And so we certainly should study the ministry of Jesus carefully and follow that same ministry. The Bible said in the 9th chapter of Matthew, in the 35th verse concerning the ministry of Jesus, that he went about their cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every manner of sickness and every manner of disease among the people. And our ministry should consist of the same thing. We see here in the 4th chapter of Luke's gospel something about the ministry of Jesus. The Bible said that he returned in the power of the Spirit, the 14th verse. He was wonderful in ministry. This let the word speak for itself. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught. Well, you see, that's exactly what Matthew said. Matthew 9:35, he went throughout their cities and villages, number one, teaching. So that's the first thing that he did. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Esaias, or Isaiah, that is. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." His ministry consisted first of teaching, then preaching, and finally third, healing. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself.' Whatsoever we've heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee." Now notice. "And taught them on the Sabbath days." Now, in the ministry of Jesus, he did more teaching than he did anything else. You just read through the four Gospels and underline teaching or taught, and you'll find out that he did more of that than anything else. See, a lot of times we don't think, you know, we think about doing the works of Jesus. We think about healing the sick or maybe casting out devils. Well, that's part of it. But teaching is doing the works of Jesus also, praise God. Amen. Now then, I want you to notice that next verse, 32nd verse. "And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power." Hallelujah. Now then, skip down to the 36th verse of the same chapter. 36th verse of the same chapter. "And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, 'What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out.'" You see, they said that in response to what had happened here. We'll go back to the 33rd verse now. "And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace and come out of him.'" In other words, shut up. Amen. Are you listening to me? That's the way you have to deal with the devil. Just tell him to shut up. Remember in our crusade down in Jacksonville, Florida, Brother Narvel Hayes was with us, and the very first night, he was going to receive the offering. Well, there were some people came in there. Some of them, I think, was dressed in sackcloth. Looked like they had on some kind of sacks. We call them down in Texas toe sacks, you know. And their hair was all long, beard was all long. That's all right if you take care of it. Don't look like an idiot. And they're sitting away off up in the balcony over here, you know. And so Narvel's going to explain, and you know, that this offering is for the expenses. It costs money to rent this auditorium. And so on and so forth, that anybody with half sense and one eye would know that they don't get those things free of charge. And so these freaks up there started yelling out, Jesus didn't say anything about taking up offerings. He said, just go preach the gospel. Narvel said, oh, shut up, you devils. And they shut up. Because that's exactly what it was, is the devil. Are you listening to me? And you just have to do that. Amen. Shut them up. That's what it meant when he said, hold thy peace. That's just a nice way of saying, shut up. Sometimes you can't be very nice with the devil. Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had thrown him in the midst. Now you think about that. After Jesus said that, that devil wanted to act up before he left. He knew this was my last chance. So he threw that fellow in their midst, it said. And he came out and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? See, Jesus cast out devils with his word. Amen. Do you hear me? Not with his power. He healed the sick with his power, but he cast out devils with his word. He was mighty in power and word. Mighty in works and word. Hallelujah. Wonderful in ministry. They were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Sure, it spread. When people get healed and devils are cast out, folks talk about it. Well, thank God, Jesus was wonderful. We could just spend the rest of the night talking about his works. But he was wonderful in ministry. He was wonderful in works. He was wonderful in words. He was wonderful in his deeds. But you ever stop to think about it, dear friends? If it all ended with his ministry, there would be no salvation for us. If it all ended right there, there would be no new birth. Amen. Thank God he was wonderful in his death. Let's turn back to Matthew's account, to the 27th chapter of Matthew. And let's begin to read the scripture on this particular thought. Matthew chapter 27, shall we begin to read with verse 24. We're just going to let the scriptures speak for themselves. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. See, Pilate realized that he was a just person. He thought he could just wash his hands and be free of it. But you see, because of the crowd, he was like most politicians, wants to go along, you know, with whatever's popular, whether it's right or wrong. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, whom they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots. that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyedest the temple and build it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now. If he will save him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. That means 12 noon to 3 in the afternoon. And about the ninth hour, about 3 in the afternoon, our time, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You see, dear friends, many people, bless their hearts, misunderstand. You know, you talk about Jesus died spiritually as well as physically. See, they think death means a cessation of life. Death in the Bible never means cessation of life, dear friends. What happened when Adam died spiritually? He still lived, but he was separated from God. See, spiritual death means separation from God. Are you following me? See, Jesus took my place in your place, so therefore he had to partake of spiritual death as well as physical death. Are you listening to me? Or else he didn't take my place and he didn't take your place. Or else he didn't become my substitute and he didn't become your substitute. So he cries out here, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You see, God had forsaken him. That's spiritual death. He's separated from God. Why had God forsaken him? Because he has made sin. God cannot look upon sin. He's made sin for us. He took my place. He became what I was. Praise God that I might become what he was. Can you see it? Amen. Nothing to it, just simple. Can you see that? Amen. And folks want to fight small wars over it. And actually, if you get down to brass tacks, they believe the same thing, or else they don't believe the Bible. One of the two. Or if they couldn't even be saved. But you see, you know, they pick up on some little statement, you know, and take it out of context. Bless their hearts. You feel so sorry for them. Now, you don't condemn them. Just like, you know, you feel sorry for little old kids never run to school and gone how to read, you know, and see some name then say, "No, that don't say Henry Smith. That says Willie Jones." Well, you don't fall out about it because he can't read. And spiritual babies, you don't get aggravated with them. Just have patience with them. Some of them may grow up someday and become spiritually mature. And if they don't, well, you don't have to worry about it. They got it made anyway. As long as they believe Jesus is the Savior. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did he forsake him? Because he had become sin. Was it his body that became sin? No, it was his spirit that became sin. Because sin is not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. If it is only physical, then each one of us, by dying physical, could atone for ourselves. Are you listening to me? Sin is spiritual, isn't it? Amen. Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, "This man calleth for Elias," or that's Elijah. "And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, 'Let us see whether Elias or Elijah will come to save him.' And Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost or his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Hallelujah. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. I said he was wonderful in his death. Hallelujah. My dear friends, it's very significant that that veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. Very significant. You see, under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, that curtain that curtained off the holies of holies was, Flavius Josephus, the Jewish historian, said, 40 feet across, 20 feet high, 4 inches thick. So up there, 20 feet in the air, an angel or an emissary of God just took hold of it and ripped it apart, signifying that the way into the holies of holies, you see, no one could enter into the holies of holies but the high priest, and he under great precaution to make sacrifice for the sins of the people. And the Shekinah glory, the visible presence of God, was kept shut up in the holies of holies. But that day it moved out. God no longer dwells in earth-made holies of holies. He dwells in us now. Amen. The glory and the Shekinah presence of God dwells in our hearts. The Holy Ghost bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Yes, this is what the Christmas story is all about, friends. It isn't just about a little baby lying in a manger. That's not the Christmas story. That's as far as a lot of folks ever go. But my brother, sister, all of it together is the Christmas story. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So he's wonderful in his death. And yet, right on the other hand, dear friends, if the story ended with his death, it would not be wonderful. Because that would be the end. Thank God he was resurrected. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. He was wonderful in his resurrection. Praise the Lord. That's part of the Christmas story too, dear friends. Unless you're right there in the 27th chapter of Matthew, so let's just go to the 28th chapter of Matthew. Praise the name of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm getting happier by the minute. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We need to remember these things always, but especially at this time of the year. 28th chapter of Matthew. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of them, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. That means they fell down flat. You never seen dead men stand up, did you? Amen. Amen. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Are you ready? For verse 6. Here's the wonderful message. Because his name shall be called Wonderful. He is not here. Where is he? He is risen. As he said. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He's not here. All the powers of earth and hell have failed to keep him. Mary said, as John said, John's Gospel, 20th chapter and 15th verse, "If ye have taken him away, tell me where ye have laid him, and I will carry him hence." You see, many seek the living one among the dead. How many times have folks still sought in vain? Because you see, they're seeking life among dead farms. They're seeking life among dead works, dead feelings, dead services, a dead God. Everybody else's God and every religion of the world is dead except ours. He's alive. Wells without water. Thank God he's risen. He is risen. He is risen. All authority. In the end of this chapter, Jesus said, "Go ye therefore in all the world." But just before he said that, 18th verse, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power." That Greek word translated power there is also translated authority throughout the New Testament. "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And he immediately delegated the authority upon the earth. Praise God to his church. His authority upon the earth is manifested through the church. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. To these signs that follow them to believe. See, exercise his authority. Cast out devils. Speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. Lay hands on the sick and shall recover. Now, let's come over. And oh, if we had time, there's so many scriptures that we could read that would just absolutely thrill us. But let's come over to the epistles, the letters written to the church. Let's come to the book of Ephesians, the very center book, so to speak, with a central theme that Christ is the head, we're the body. And let's see the revelation. Remember, Paul was not taught the gospel by some man. Paul says in writing to the Galatians, and it might be interesting for you to notice that, he says, "I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached to me," now that's the 11th verse of the first chapter of Galatians, "but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Holy Ghost taught him the whole thing. Amen. Now notice what he says here in the second chapter of Ephesians. Did you wear your shouting clothes tonight? Amen. Second chapter of Ephesians, began to read with the first verse. This is talking about resurrection now. He was wonderful in resurrection. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now the word quickens means made alive. Thank God we've already been resurrected spiritually. We've been made alive. We are going to have new bodies one of these days. "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." Made us alive, praise God, together with Christ. See, God saw it done then when he raised him up. By grace are you saved. "Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved." Now notice, "and hath raised us up together." Oh, glory to God. Now listen, Man, that's not all of it. Listen. And has made us sit together. Where? In heavenly places. In Christ Jesus. That's where we are right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Oh my, you could preach forever, couldn't you? Resurrection. He was wonderful in his resurrection. But you know, that's not all the story. Praise God. Turn back to the first chapter of Acts. Let's get the complete story. When it comes to Christmas time, let's get a picture of the complete plan. Not just a little baby lying in a manger and it all ends there. Not just one day a year that we keep in celebration of baby Jesus. No, that's all there was to it. It wouldn't be worth remembering. I said it wouldn't be worth remembering. Amen. All right, Jesus said here, this began to read with the 8th verse of Acts 1. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God forevermore. Now, in conclusion, let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians. You have to really understand something here that I don't think many Bible scholars have seen, bless their hearts. And so we get into all kind of people trying to peddle some little theory of their own. Amen. Now to tell you the real truth about the matter, again, you remember that Paul said, the gospel I preach, he received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul is the only one, don't try to read it in anywhere else because you can't, that receive revelation about the catching away of the saints. We call it rapture. If you want to call it that, fine. That's scriptural. It's also called up. That's what it says in the King James translation, or catching away. You can't find anybody else that got that revelation. In what Jesus talked about the second coming, he never mentioned it. There's a reason why he didn't. He is primarily talking to the Jews. He wasn't talking to the church anyhow. So don't get back over there in Matthew 24 or Luke 21 and say, now I read that, there's nothing about a rapture in there, so you see one's not going to take place. Well, I'm not that stupid. Are you listening to me? Because he's not talking about that, certainly not, because he's not preaching to the church anyhow. He's not teaching the church anyhow. He's talking to the Jews. Are you listening to me? Now then, get the picture and you'll see something that'll bless you. You see, you know as well as I do that these went forth to preach. They were there the day of Pentecost was fully come. They in one accord in one place. Suddenly came the sound of heaven like a rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting, appeared cloven tongue, like a fire, sat upon each of them. They all filled the Holy Ghost and began to speak the other tongues. And there's endued with power from on high and went out to preach. Well, we have a portion of what they preached. But don't you know as well as I know that it spread everywhere they went, that Jesus ascended up to heaven, that the cloud received him out of their sight, that two men stood by them in white apparel and told him, this same Jesus that you've seen go away is coming in like manner. He's coming. He's coming. Don't you know that?
Amen.
And they were looking. That early church was looking for him to come. Can't you understand that? They were looking for him to come. Now this church at Thessalonica were looking for him to come. But in the meantime, some of them that were looking for him to come had died. Well, what about it now? Are they going to miss it because they were looking and he didn't come while they was alive? Can you understand why they would be perplexed? Can you understand why they would be all kind of questionings? Because these two men that they saw were evidently angels said, "He's coming." So now then, Paul's writing to them, "But I would not have you ignorant," 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Oh no, the spirits wasn't asleep. He's talking about their bodies. "That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." See, he had a word from the Lord on it. "That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord." See, Paul still expected to be. He's still looking for him. He expected to be alive and remain. He said we, didn't he? "We that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up." Shall be caught up. Shall be caught up. Now you see, you read it another time that Jesus is coming back to the earth, but that's not here. He's coming back with his saints. How could we come back with him if we haven't already gone to be with him? How could you come back from Oklahoma City if you haven't been to Oklahoma City? If you weren't in Oklahoma City. But he's coming, bless God, back to the earth originally and eventually. But this is not talking about that here. Can you see that? No. "Caught up. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up." That's what we mean. We're talking about rapture. Caught up. Call it either one you want to. There is coming a catching away. "Caught up. Together with them." Together with them who? Those that's already been raised from the dead in Christ. "To meet the Lord," or in the clouds. We're going to be caught up. "In the clouds. To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Hallelujah, hallelujah. So he's going to be wonderful, praise God, in his second coming, isn't he? Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Well, let's stand and praise him. Thank God forevermore. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful plan of God. Wonderful plan of redemption. Wonderful. Let's praise him. Let's worship him. Let's honor him and glorify his holy name. Thank you, Father. Oh, blessed be God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to thy holy name. We worship you and honor you and magnify your name. Thank you because your name shall be called wonderful. Because you are wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus, wonderful, wonderful Lord, wonderful, wonderful plan of salvation, wonderful in conception, wonderful in announcing to be born, wonderful in announcing that you were born, wonderful in childhood, wonderful in ministry, wonderful in death, oh hallelujah, wonderful in resurrection, and wonderful in coming again. We look to thee, we expect. Jesus is coming. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Great is thy name and greatly to be praised. Above every name is the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org, or write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station D, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4X3.